Hello and welcome to the International Soccer Preview by Soccer Files Canada. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor. And we are continuing with our group by group preview of Gold Cup 2021. And within that, our team by team overview. So we're going to start with part one, where we will begin with an overview of Group C, giving a brief introduction of the teams and countries, including looking at the location and size of each country.
Yeah, and after that is part two. That's the longest part. It's a team-by-team overview where we look at the team's long history, their recent history, other information, and a brief overview of their players.
Right, and then part three will be a discussion of their prospects as well as our predictions, where we'll look at the rankings, the head-to-head records, and discuss how we think the group will finish.
Okay, great. And once again, a reminder to check out our preliminary podcast for some overriding information, including an introduction of the podcast and of ourselves, a history of the CONCACAF regional tournament, which includes things like format changes over the years, an introduction to some other relevant tournaments that we'll be talking about. That would be mainly the Confederations Cup and the Copa America, and then a discussion of FIFA and ELO rankings, in the preliminary podcast.
Right, and if you're looking to find us on the internet, you can search Soccer Files or Soccer Files Canada. That's Soccer Files with a PH. You can also search International Soccer Preview or International Soccer Podcast. We have also done a Euro Cup 2020 preview and a preview of Copa America 2021.
That's right. And today I have a Jamaica shirt, Connor, but I can't find it. So I'm using my Brazil shirt as a proxy because it has the yellow and green. How about you?
I have no such shirt on today. None of the team shirts, but hopefully that one shows up. You have a few days to find it before the tournament starts, but not a bad proxy.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, I have a little message for our listeners in India who maybe think of Canada as a frozen wasteland where we trudge around in the windy snow through snow. Yeah, my description has run out, but I want to tell you that you're right, actually, for 4 or 5 months of the year. But you're wrong if that's your image of Canada all year long. What's the temperature today, Connor?
I think today we're hitting 33, which is actually a bit of a reprieve from the 40-degree heat we had earlier this week.
Right. So we do get that is unusually hot for the summer, but we do get up to around 30 and stuff. And we also know that India knows what snow is, even though you probably don't get a lot of it. And it doesn't last for 5 months like it does in Canada.
I'm looking forward to some of Canada's qualifiers in November, where there really could be some snow on the road to the World Cup.
That's right. We actually take advantage of that by when we're facing a Central America American country like Honduras, we put the qualifier in somewhere like Edmonton, where it's cold and the weather will kind of act to their disadvantage. And speaking of Canada, Connor, your father, told me that Alphonse Davies is out of the cup.
Yes, since we recorded Group B, he has an ankle injury. So our hometown hero, Alphonso Davies, will unfortunately not be representing Canada.
I am absolutely sickened. How about you?
That's a big, big blow for Canada, for sure. No two ways about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, well, we better get on with Group B, which is, we'll introduce the four countries. Do you want to take it away, Connor?
Sure. Group C, just to...
Group C, yeah.
So starting with Costa Rica. Costa Rica are 2 times winners of the CONCACAF Championship or Gold Cup. They have progressed beyond the group stage in each of the last 11 consecutive tournaments. However, they only made it to the final on one of those occasions, which was in 2002.
All right. The second team is Jamaica, who have reached the semifinals in the last 3 tournaments and were runners-up in both 2015 and 2017.
Next is Suriname. They are competing in this tournament for just the third time and are making their first appearance since 1985.
Okay, and finally, Guadeloupe are making their fourth Gold Cup appearance and their first since qualifying for three straight tournaments from 2007 to 2011. Okay, let's go over to take a look at the geography and population of each country.
Right. So starting with Costa Rica, they're a mid-sized country in Central America. They have a population of 5.1 million people. That's 119th largest population in the world out of just over 200 countries, and the 11th largest population in North America.
All right, to Jamaica.
All right, Jamaica is a small island south of Cuba. They have a population of 2.7 million people, so roughly half of Costa Rica, and are 136th in the world in terms of total population.
Right, I actually did buy my shirt in Jamaica, which I tried to do, but I'm suffering that loss. How about Suriname?
So Suriname is actually located on the South American continent, but they do compete as a member of CONCACAF. They have a population of 600,000, so relatively small, 164th ranked in the world.
Do you have any idea why they're not in the South American group?
I'm not sure. I suspect that a country of their size, you know, being forced to play regular games against Brazil and Argentina and Chile would probably do them no good. So perhaps they compete in CONCACAF just so they're competing against teams at a more similar level to them.
Yeah, I'd like to check into that and see if it's their own choice or whether that was kind of decided for them. Finally, Guadeloupe.
Right. Guadeloupe is a Caribbean country. They have a population of 400,000 people. They are part of France. They're equivalent basically to a province of France. 169th or equivalent in the world in terms of population.
Okay, and apologies to those on YouTube who are watching. I had the wrong map there. But let's take a kind of an overview, a comparison where we can look at the countries in comparison to each other.
Yeah, so none of these countries are in the top 10 most populous countries in North America. So in terms of total population, it's quite small for this group compared to others. The biggest country, Costa Rica, just 5.1 million people. Jamaica, roughly half of that at 2.7. And then Suriname and Guadeloupe have about 1 million people each. Suriname about 600,000. Guadeloupe 400,000. I should say about 1 million people in total between Suriname and Guadeloupe.
Right. Great. Thanks for that, Connor. And well, even if they're not in the top 10 in size, I would say Costa Rica and arguably Jamaica are among the top 10 teams in the region. Would you agree?
I would. Yes. Two teams that you would say punch above their weight in the region.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a closer look at that by looking at their records, beginning with Costa Rica as we move into part two, the team by team kind of overview or analysis or history. I'm at a loss for words. Okay, let's start with the nicknames. Connor, how about Costa Rica?
Costa Rica's nickname is Los Ticos. Ticos being a name for men from Costa Rica. So they've adopted that kind of national moniker for their national team.
Right. And that one is in use. I have heard that several times.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll begin by looking at their tournament participation and major achievements over the years. As a small country of 5.1 million, they have a pretty impressive record. Their first qualification was in 1958. Their first successful qualification was in 1958. They actually did enter in 1934 and in 1950. good Lord, I'm way off here. They did enter in 1938, but they withdrew, as many teams in the Americas did when FIFA broke their promise of alternating tournaments between Europe and America. Their entry in 1954 was, for some reason, not accepted, so they began competing in the World Cup in 1958 and have participated ever since. Phew. Their first World Cup was in 1990, their first successful qualification, and from 2002 they've been regular qualifiers, with 2014 being their best result, a quarterfinal finish. They competed in the first regional competition in 1963, and in fact won it that year, and they participated consistently except for one withdrawal in 1967. In addition to the inaugural competition, they've won the title three times, though the last time was in 1989. And they're also sometimes participating, or they did participate, because it's probably a thing of the past now, in the Copa America. They attended in 1997, 2001, 2004, and 2011. And, of course, 2016, where a lot of CONCACAF teams were invited. They reached the quarterfinal of the Copa America in 2001 and 2004, but they sent a B team in 2011. They were knocked out at the group stage in 2016, the Copa Centenario version, and they had a pretty hot and cold performance there. Let's take a bit of a closer look at their World Cup history.
Right, so after their start in the World Cup in 1958, it took a long time to reach the World Cup finals, despite the relatively easy passage that the region provides, even Mexico sometimes faltering to make room for others. Having come close three times in a row between 1958 and 1966, they finally made it years later in 1990. They missed the next two, again coming close in 1998, but from 2002, they have reached four of the five editions. 2010 was their only failure, where they lost to Uruguay in an intercontinental playoff. They passed the group stage in their first entry in 1990, beating Scotland and Sweden, before falling to Czechoslovakia in the round of 16. Their most glorious result, though, was in 2014, when they beat all expectations by advancing from a group of death, ahead of Italy, England, and Uruguay, incredible, and taking Netherlands to penalties in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I actually had a Costa Rican student in my class while that was taking place, so it was kind of fun watching him and talking to him. His excitement was infectious. Okay, let's move over to the regional competition. And they're a charter member in the regional competition, and they've won it three times, as we said. They won the first edition in 1963 and then repeated in 1969. That was a strong period where they finished in the top three in four of the first five editions, their fifth being their withdrawal in 1967. Their weak period was very weak, failing to even qualify from 1973 to 1981. But they regained strength here sooner than in the World Cup by coming in the top four from 1985 to 1993. And they won their third title in 1989. After a weak spell in the late 90s, which tracks with their World Cup record, they have passed the group stage every time since 2000, with a second place finish in 2002. In recent years, they've reached the semifinals twice, in 2009 and 2017. Given their World Cup consistency, reaching only the quarterfinals in five of the last six editions has to be seen as an underperformance, especially in 2015, where their follow-up to their great World Cup success was just a quarterfinal finish in the Gold Cup. But they are the strongest team in Central America. That region's cup, called the UNCAF Nations Cup, or the Copa Central America, acted as a qualifier for the Gold Cup and existed from 1991 to 2017. Costa Rica won that cup 8 of the 14 times and only finished out of second place once. That was in 1995, where they came fourth. They were runners-up in 2009 and 2011, but reasserted their dominance in 2013 and 2014. However, a grim fourth-place finish in 2017, the last edition, was very uncharacteristic of them. After 2017, of course, qualifying became the CONCACAF Nations Cup. Do you want to tell us how they've done there?
Sure. So Gold Cup qualification changed to the CONCACAF Nations Cup or Nations League in 2018. The first edition was a placement tournament, but Costa Rica did not participate. They received a bye due to their participation in the HEX at that time. That meant they were automatically placed into League A, as well as given automatic entry to the 2019 Gold Cup, because they had reached the final round of 2018 World Cup qualifying. In the 2019-20 season, they finished first in their group ahead of Curaçao and Haiti. That earned them a spot in the 4-team championship, a mini tournament for the group winners of League A to decide the champions for the season. But they lost to Mexico on penalties in the semifinal and then to Honduras on penalties again to finish fourth.
Right. Okay, so in summary, they are the strongest Central American team and probably the third strongest team in the region, though that's on average and not at all times. They have been regulars at the World Cup since 2002, but they struggled to pass the group stage aside from that stellar performance in 2014. They have not challenged Mexico or USA at the regional level, though, and they still await their fourth regional title after 1989. Reaching only the quarterfinals in 6 of the last 8 editions, it's a bit of an underperformance.
Yeah, they have remained near the top of CONCACAF with their regular World Cup qualifications and consistent quarterfinal finishes in the Gold Cup, although the 2 semifinal finishes they achieved in 2009 and 2017 were probably more in line with their relative strength in the region. They did well in the Nations League, but it was a relatively easy group, but they were among the top 4 vying for the title, which is where they would expect to be. They rarely fall below that level, but they also rarely strike above it, as you said, not often challenging USA or Mexico, and having really only kind of played well above themselves during that World Cup run in 2014.
Great. Well, let's look at their very recent history, the World Cup 2020 qualifying. And alas, there is nothing to look at there because they were handed a bye into the final round or by dint of being ranked in the top 5 CONCACAF teams, according to the FIFA rankings. So, yeah.
Yeah, so no games played for them yet. They will have they'll participate in the Octagon starting in September of this year, where they will have 14 games to determine whether they will make it to the 2022 World Cup.
That's right, and we're hoping to preview that round of qualification, are we, Connor?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, let's take a brief look at some of their players. I don't have a graphic for our YouTube listeners because I've been using 2022 World Cup qualifying, but of course they haven't played. What do you say?
Yeah, so Costa Rica has some domestic players, but they also have some players in the MLS and on some decent European clubs. Premier League fans might recognize players such as Brian Oviedo, once of Everton, Brian Ruiz, once of Fulham, and Joel Campbell, who had a spell with Arsenal. Interestingly, 12 players in their 23-man team for this tournament are 30 years or older. And that does not include some players who you would normally expect to be there, like Keylor Navas, Marco Urania, and Christian Gamboa, all of whom are 30 years or older themselves. So they do seem to have a bit of an aging team, And still hanging on to some of the players that were part of that 2014 World Cup 7 years ago.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that could be a bonus, or it could be a detriment. It's hard to say, but when I was looking at the team, I was really struck by how many veterans there are. I mean, there are three players who are around 100 caps, and there's got to be about 9 or 10 players who are around 50 caps or more. These are all really familiar names. They've been there for ages.
Yeah, we'll discuss it more in their prospect, but we'll see whether that experience is an advantage or perhaps a detriment of not having a kind of more youthful squad.
Yeah, well, great. That's going to compare interestingly to Guadeloupe, who don't have a lot of experience. But before we get to that, we'll talk about Jamaica. Do we have a nickname for Jamaica?
Yes, Jamaica, the Reggae Boys.
Oh, that's what do you like, Soccer Warriors better or Reggae Boys?
They're probably two of the best, these two Caribbean rivals. Splitting hairs for me. Reggae Boys with the Z, you got to love that.
That's a nice touch. Great. Okay, well, let's look at the tournament participation and major achievements for Jamaica. Their first international game was in 1925. I actually haven't been pointing that out, but maybe we should begin to work that into our histories. They first entered the World Cup qualification in 1966, but their participation was pretty patchy until 1990, from which point they've entered every time. Their best achievement was reaching the World Cup in 1998. They first entered the larger regional cup a bit earlier in 1963. And as with the World Cup, they were inconsistent in participating until 1989, from which time they entered consistently. They've never won the regional title, but came second recently in both 2015 and 2017. They're definitely one of the top teams in the Caribbean zone. They entered all tournaments from its start in 1989 to 2017, and they won the title in 5 of the 19 editions. We'll look more closely at all of those things, starting with the World Cup.
Right. Their patchy involvement in the World Cup that you mentioned includes two withdrawals from qualification in 1974 and 1986, which were actually withdrawals from the CONCACAF Championship tournaments, which acted as a qualifier for the World Cup in that period. They reached the World Cup finals only once in 1998, where they lost to Croatia and Argentina, but they beat Japan to finish third in the group. They have otherwise not really come close to qualifying, only rarely reaching the final round of qualification, having done so only 3 times in 1966, 2002, and 2014. 2002 was the only time they earned more than a draw and finished above last place. The turn of the century then was their strongest period, where they contended with the big teams, Mexico, USA, and Costa Rica, and took points off each of them.
Thanks for that, Connor. And we will move on to their Gold Cup. Regional play, the CONCACAF Championship and the Gold Cup. That period of strength with the fourth place finish in 1998 tracked in the regional competition, but in general, they've done better overall. They've qualified for about half of the CONCACAF Cups and passed the group stage more than half of those times. In recent times, they've qualified more often, missing only 2 editions from 2003 until the present. And even 2003 was unfortunate. They finished at the bottom of a 3-way tie there. There's no excuse, however, for their ghastly qualifying performance in 2013, getting knocked out at the group stage of the 2012 Caribbean Cup. Their best result had been third place in 1993 before impressive second place finishes both in 2015 and 2017. They lost to the USA on both occasions there. And now with the tournament expanded to 16 teams as of 2019, it would be that much more disappointing for them to miss a Gold Cup. Taking a quick look at the Caribbean region, they were always strong candidates to win the Cup, but they proved quite inconsistent. They won six times as host in 1991, 1998, 2008 and 2014, and then they also won one they were not hosting in 2005 and 2008, making it a good run in the early millennium with three out of four cups between 2005 and 2010. But they are capable of great inconsistency, though, as evidenced with a poor run in the mid-90s, failing to qualify in 2007, and as I mentioned before, a poor performance in 2012. They failed to pass the group stage three times and actually failed to qualify three times. So pretty inconsistent. Now that's all over, though, and qualification is done through the CONCACAF Nations League. Do you want to take us through that, Connor?
Yeah. So in the 2018-19 placement round for the Nations League, they won three of their four games, but lost to El Salvador. That gave them an eighth place finish in the overall table, which was good enough for them to reach the 2019 Gold Cup, where they reached the semifinals, but not high enough for League A in the 2019-20 season of the Nations League, as only the top six in the table earned that. In League B, though, they finished first in their group, suffering only a draw with second place Guyana, but twice beating Antigua and Barbuda, as well as Aruba. So they were promoted and will compete in League A for the 2022-2023 season.
Right, and that also qualified them for the Gold Cup here, being That's winners right. of League B. And hang on, let us move on to take a look at their 2022 World Cup qualifying, but once again, like Costa Rica, there is nothing to look at because they received a bye to the final round also. Once again, that bye was given to the top five CONCACAF teams, according to the FIFA rankings in July 2020. So that brings us to their players. Let's take a quick look at that.
Right, so they... Jamaica has seven players who play who are based in the English Football League Championship, so that's the level below the Premier League. And there's actually more players at that level they could draw on it if they wish. So they're pretty well represented at some decent clubs overseas. They also have players playing in other leagues in Europe and in the MLS. And in fact, only have one player in the team who's a domestic player, and that's a goalie with just two caps. The man with the most goals in their team is Shamar Nicholson. He was not on the score sheet recently, but he does have seven goals in 18 appearances, and he plays for a team in the Belgian top flight. Other names, though, they have up front include Bobby Decordova-Reed with Fulham, Andre Gray with Watford, and the promising Leon Bailey, who plays for Bayer Leverkusen. They're all relative newcomers to the team with fewer than 10 caps each, but it does provide them with pretty good strength in attacking positions and being able to draw on some players with some top-level experience in Europe.
Yeah, I remember, I'm going off memory here, but in 2019, they had a lot of hope going in for Leon Bailey. And he didn't really perform that well there, as I recall. And I see here he only has eight caps and one goal. So it looks like he hasn't been playing with the team that much. Maybe the COVID prevented him from coming over for games.
That's possible. Also, Jamaica just haven't played a lot of games recently. So due to COVID and due to their bye in the to the final round of World Cup qualifying. But he is finding his feet with Bayer Leverkusen. He's only 23 years old, so I'm sure he still has a big future.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, especially if some of those guys start showing their stuff. in the cup. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to prospects. But for now, we're going to move on to Suriname. And do we have a nickname for them, Connor?
You know, I couldn't find a nickname for Suriname other than just kind of like the national team or the selection, but there's nothing really defining for Suriname.
Oh, okay. Well, they don't have a cool name like Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago. I think they'd better get one.
Yeah.
They're an old team, having played their first international in 1921. As Dutch Guiana, they entered the World Cup in 1938. But they did not complete this qualification, and they only joined in earnest from 1962, from which time they participated consistently, apart from missing in 1990. They have never reached the World Cup. They became Suriname, having been called Dutch Guiana before that, in 1975. They joined regional competition fairly late, completing their first qualification in 1973. Since then, they withdrew in 1989, 1993, and 2003, the latter being the only time qualification was not tied to the local cups, a detail that we haven't really gotten into and probably won't. But anyway, they reached the finals in 1977 and 1985, but they have never done so in the Gold Cup era, though they came close in 2019. Well, I guess because we're talking about them, they have reached the Gold Cup in 2021. Caribbean Cup participation started in 1989, and they were absent in 1993 and 1997, but they consistently entered from 2005 onwards. They reached the final three times in the 1990s and in 2001 also, but never after that. So let's go back to the World Cup qualifications, and over to you, Connor.
Right. So Suriname are a small team that have never really come close to reaching the World Cup. They went out at the first step in their first four qualification runs until 1974, but only once in 1982 after that. They nevertheless had some good results in those campaigns, which were all group stages, including a 6-1 win over Trinidad and Tobago in 1966 and a 4-1 win over El Salvador in 1970. 1978 was their best campaign, the only time they reached the final round. More recently, 2010 was their best recent campaign, where they knocked out perennial rivals Guyana to reach the semifinal round. Beyond that, they are knocked out in the second round, usually by one of the top teams in the region, the weakest of those being St. Vincent and the Grenadines in 1986.
Right. Okay, thank you, Connor. And let's move on to look at their regional history. In the early years, they reached two CONCACAF championships in 1977 and 1985, placing sixth in 1977 and falling at the group stage in 1985, which was structured a bit differently than the usual round robin. Excuse me. They have never reached the Gold Cup since it was established in 1993. The qualifier was the Caribbean Cup. Though their overall strength should translate to reaching the Caribbean Cup, they have not reached it since 2001. Or they didn't reach it since 2001. They reached it four times in the past, taking fourth place in 1994 and 1996, and reaching only as far as the group stage in 1992 and 2001. Do you want to take over for a second, Connor?
Sure. Yeah, Suriname always seemed to get embroiled in qualification battles for the Caribbean Cup with weak or middling teams who they were capable of beating. This included St. Kitts and Nevis in 2001, Grenada and the feeble Puerto Rico in 2005, Barbados in 2008, and newcomers Bonaire in 2014. In some campaigns, they legitimately had a tough final round, with top-teamed or stronger Caribbean teams like Antigua and Barbuda, Martinique, or local rivals Guyana. But since they sometimes take points off these or top teams, their persistent absence from the Cup was peculiar. In short, their fourth place finishes in 1994 and 1998 were not enough to get them to the Gold Cup. So in summary, I suppose generally underperforming in the Caribbean Championships.
Yeah, let's see if they're going to do better in the CONCACAF Nations League, because obviously they've reached this cup. So for some teams, the Nations League, I don't know, some seems to somehow suit them a bit better. Can you tell us how they've done in the Nations League?
Right. So they participated in the placement round in 2018-19. They went 2 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss in their 4 games. Disappointingly tying Dominica and also losing to Jamaica, though beating St. Kitts and Nevis, which was a good result. With the top 10 reaching the Gold Cup in 2019, their 12th place finish became their second near miss in qualifying since 1985. In the 2019-20 season of the Nations League, they won their League B group despite being bested by St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Winning all other games over Nicaragua and Dominica, who St. Vincent and the Grenadines lost points to, that was enough to see them promoted to League A for the 2022-23 season, and also gave them automatic qualification for the 2021 Gold Cup. Noteworthy there is Gliophilo Vilter, if I'm saying that right, who scored 10 of their 16 goals, including 4 in a 6-0 win over Nicaragua.
That's right. So he'll be a player to keep an eye on, 10 of their 16 goals in that Nations League. And we'll see how they do in Nations League A next year. I kind of fear that might be a bit out of their depth.
I can't help but agree with you there.
Right. So just in summary, Suriname has underperformed in the Caribbean Cups and should have been in the finals more often. This would have given them a better chance to qualify for the Gold Cup, which they didn't do until this edition. However, the new Nations League does seem to suit them better, and they came close to qualifying in 2019, and they did qualify in 2021. Being in League A for the 2022-23 season may be out of their depth, but they did do well to reach it. And it seems that they're going to be on the edge of qualifying for the Gold Cup now that it's expanded from 12 teams to 16 teams since 2019.
Right. And just to add on that, at the individual game level, Suriname can prove one of the stronger Caribbean teams. However, not reaching the Caribbean Cup has really made them questionable at the larger campaign level. Reaching the semifinal round of World Cup qualifying also seems well within their power, but they've only done so in 2010 World Cup qualification and not since.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to their World Cup 2020 qualifying campaign. Unlike the two teams above, they did play games. And in round one of three, they came second behind Canada in their group. They lost their final game to Canada, but otherwise did quite well. We would expect them to win over Cayman Islands and Aruba, but Bermuda, who was in the 2019 Gold Cup, were no match for them at all. They won that game 6-0. But anyway, second place was not enough to move on. So a respectable performance there, Connor, but not quite enough to get to the final round.
Yeah, respectable indeed. Them and Canada both went into their final match against each other with 3 wins. So they gave themselves a chance, but they were overpowered by Canada, losing that game 4-0.
Right. And one interesting name we see there in the comments are about Nigel Hasselbank. I'm sure you're going to talk a little bit about him in the players section.
Yeah, so Nigel Hasselbank, you may be thinking, any relation to the famous Jimmy Floyd? And indeed there is. Nigel is a nephew of Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who had roots to Suriname, but of course represented the Netherlands internationally. Nigel is 30 years old, but has 7 goals in just 6 appearances. So he's a relative newcomer onto the team, but has done really well for them. And he plays his club football in Israel. And then we also mentioned Gliofilo Vilter. He also plays in Israel. He's 21 years old, so a relative newcomer, and has 11 goals and 9 appearances. So the two forwards there, not going on a huge sample size of games, but quite prolific at more than a goal a game, each of them.
Great. Yeah, I was just looking for some information on Suriname here. And is it on the screen? It's not supposed to be. Yeah, just give me a second, because I think there are other players. Do you remember Netherlands Edgar Davids?
Yes, of course, the bespectacled midfielder.
Yeah, that's right. So him, along with Clarence Seedorf, Aaron Winter, those are names that I'm familiar with, and of course Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, all have connections to Suriname. So we talked about that in the previous podcast, I think, with Martinique, perhaps?
Correct.
Some pretty big names associated with the country. But if they're really kind of good, they play for the Netherlands rather than for Suriname.
Right. Yeah, but certainly they do their nation proud in terms of representation with the Dutch national team.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So Suriname is going to be an interesting team. And now let's move on to our last team, Guadeloupe, which will be a bit shorter because they don't have a record in the World Cup. I'll begin with kind of an overview of their tournament participation and major achievements. So nothing to say about the World Cup because they're not an official member of FIFA. They didn't participate in the CONCACAF championships, but they started competing in the region from the start of the Gold Cup in 1991. So they participated consistently, except for 1998 when they didn't enter. They qualified for 3 Gold Cups, all in a row from 2007 to 2011, and their best result was reaching the semifinals in 2007. The qualifier for the Gold Cup is the Caribbean Cup. They participated in that since its beginning in 1989, but they didn't enter 3 times. In 1990 and then twice in a row in 1996 and 1997. Their best finish was in 2010. Connor, you usually do the World Cup history, but in this case, can you kind of tell us why they're not involved in that?
Right. So for those who listen to our discussion of Martinique and Group B, the situation is the same for Guadeloupe. Guadeloupe is not a country unto itself, but rather an overseas department or region of France. This can be likened to a province of France. So as such, they are part of the European Union and use euros as their currency. But because they are not an independent country, they cannot be a member of FIFA and so do not compete in World Cup competition.
Right. So, go ahead.
So I would just add, in terms of player eligibility, because they are not a FIFA member, the eligibility rules, where if you play for one country, you can't play for another, don't apply. So former France internationals can play for Guadeloupe, certainly in regional competition. The reason, though, they cannot play in the Gold Cup is because the Gold Cup follows FIFA eligibility requirements, where basically you can't have represented more than one country officially. So they have had some former France internationals play with them in the past and really still could. However, those former France internationals could not compete in the Gold Cup because of the rules set by the Gold Cup itself.
So what you mean is they could play in the CONCACAF Nations League and kind of help them get there, but then they couldn't actually play in the Cup?
I believe that would be the case. It perhaps hasn't really been tested, but the Gold Cup is not a FIFA-run tournament, and they basically determine their own rules. And in this case, they've determined to follow FIFA rules. It wasn't always the case. Guadeloupe, several years ago, did have former France international by the name of Anglomar play for them and represent them. But that changed in the Gold Cup within the last 10 years. So it's no longer the case that former France internationals can play for them.
Well, it kind of has been tested by that player who I think he did play in qualifying games and then he did play in the Gold Cup and they got the results stripped off them because he had played. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, that was Florent Malouda
right.
Playing for French Guiana. And you're right, he was able to participate in the Caribbean Cup, but once they got to the Gold Cup, they basically said if you play him, you will forfeit. French Guiana protested and basically played him anyways in defiance and were stripped of their result. So it's changed over time, like we said, but currently Guadeloupe and other clubs in that same situation, like Martinique or French Guiana, can't draw on those players for this competition in particular.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that resolves because, you know, they could field some pretty big names. And you know, a lot of those players kind of are interested in kind of coming back and playing for these countries. It could be interesting in the future.
I'm sure there will be changes. In the future. And perhaps it still has to be resolved with the Nations League. So we'll see what they decide there.
Right. Okay. Well, that was good for the. Thanks for jumping in with that. And I think we were just about to talk about then their regional history.
That's right.
They actually. Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. I wasn't dead sure, actually. They were not visible on the bigger stage, the bigger regional stage, until 2007. Before which they had never qualified for a Gold Cup. However, they came in like a tropical storm in 2007 and reached the semifinals, beating Honduras in the quarterfinal. This was obviously a period of strength as they qualified again in 2009, reaching the quarterfinal, and also in 2011, although they lost all games there, thanks in part to receiving red cards early in two of their games. They're more visible, of course, in the Korean Cup play on the Korean Cup radar, which saw them qualifying in seven of the 19 editions. From its start in 1989 until 2005, they were knocked out in the group stage three times and finished third in 1994. However, their strong period shows up here too, and it tracks with their success in the Gold Cup, of course. They finished in the top four three times in a row from 2007 to 2010, finishing second in 2010 for their best result. There they beat Cuba in the semifinal but lost to Jamaica on penalties in the final. However, that strong period ended as quickly as it began, and they didn't qualify for any of the last three editions, the Caribbean Cup now being over since 2017. So let's turn our attention to the CONCACAF Nations League and see how they've been doing.
Yeah, Guadeloupe took part in the 2018-19 placement round, but they did not do well. They tied the weak Aruba and were thrashed 6-0 by Curaçao. Losing to Martinique in the last game left them 23rd of the 34 teams in the big table. And that condemned them to League C, the lowest league. However, they were a bit too strong for that level and easily beat Saint-Martin and Turks and Caicos Islands to win the group and earn promotion to the more appropriate League B. Winning the group also put them in the playoff for one of the three backdoor spots for this Gold Cup, and they took full advantage, as we'll see shortly.
Yeah, and before we do that, we'll just summarize. So apart from a good period in 2007 to 2011, Guadeloupe has been fairly invisible in the region, and that's partly because they don't participate in World Cup qualification. But that strong period does show they can rise up, and they were pretty impressive in earning their qualification for this cup. And who knows, that may signal another good period, though it would be a bit premature to say that right now.
Yeah, certainly in the decade after 2010, it was a sharp decline from the height of their second place finish in the Caribbean Cup. They also did poorly in the Nations League placement round. But again, earning that promotion the following season was impressive, and it helped them find their way into this Gold Cup, which we'll look at now. So they did go into a playoff round. In their first match, they met Bahamas, who they beat 2-0. And that set up a final with Guatemala. They tied 1-1, but Guadeloupe won in a dramatic penalty shootout. Do you want to describe that, Kevin, or would you like me to go through it?
No, I'm happy because I'm excited about it. Both teams, all 11 players took their shot, so I guess that would mean that their goalies did too. And they didn't all score, but things balanced out. That it remained tied until the first shooters had to shoot again. Now, the first shooter for Guatemala had actually missed his first penalty and stepped up to the plate and missed once again, the poor guy. Whereas Guatemala's player, Dimitri Caver, had scored on his first penalty and then stepped up and scored again. So they ended up winning the shootout 10-9.
Wow, that is dramatic. I can't imagine missing a penalty shootout twice in the same shootout. What a horrible feeling.
Yeah, I mean, psychologically, it must have been quite difficult for the guy to step up and take a second penalty after missing his first, but he had no choice, right? Okay, well, Dimitri Caver is one of the players we will take a quick look at as we look at the players.
Yeah,
do you want to take us through that?
We alluded to it at the beginning of the show, but Guadeloupe, this is a very young and inexperienced team. Just three players have 10 or more caps, and the most experienced player has just 14 caps to his name. So there's a lot of untested and untried players. Though that said, because they don't participate in World Cup qualifying, there are fewer opportunities for players to gain those caps. A lot of their players play domestically in the local Guadeloupe League. Among active players, Rafael Merval, who has 8 goals and 12 appearances, he has the best goal scoring record among active squad players currently. And like many, he plays in Guadeloupe.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know the team that well myself. I did mention Dimitri Caver from that penalty shootout, and I only know that he got a red card, I think, in 2018-19 placement rounds. But yeah, really kind of I can't claim to know any of these players. I mean, partly because the last time they were in the Gold Cup in 2011, none of them were there. Their head coach, Jocelyn Angloma, was one of those players during their strong period, but that's about the only familiar name to me.
Right.
Okay, well, some of that stuff is going to come up in the next part where we talk about the prospects, but we're going to look at some data before we kind of talk about our own thinking on the matter. And we're going to start with the rankings. Do you want to lead that?
Yes, so starting with Costa Rica, they're ranked 50th in FIFA and 51st in ELO, so virtually identical. From 2010 to 2013, they were in the 60s in FIFA and the 40s in ELO, but they rose to 14th and 16th, respectively, in the world on the back of that sensational World Cup run in 2014. Since then, they've kind of fallen gradually since to the 50 mark where they stand now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say gradual, because that's a pretty heavy drop in 6 or 7 years from 14th, which I don't think they ever really were the 14th best team in the world. But all the way down to 50th, I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I guess it is their lowest point since that 2014 run. So, yeah, it has been sharp, but it's kind of been steady. They've been kind of heading gradually in the same direction for 7 years, really.
Yeah, it kind of contradicts our thesis that, you know, they pretty much remained the same. I mean, that was what came out of the history and recent history for me. They haven't gotten that much better, but they haven't gotten much worse either.
Yeah, I think the 2014 was, well, it was obviously an anomaly. They have spent a lot of time not too far from their current ranking, kind of 10 up, 10 below. So I think overall they would be more consistent than certainly some of the teams we're going to look at, like Jamaica, for example.
Yeah, well, I'll give a bit of opinion before I can't help it. I do see them as higher than Jamaica, although FIFA rankings have rated them below Jamaica. Do you want to talk about Jamaica?
Yeah, that's a surprise for me too. So Jamaica is 45th in FIFA, so that's five places ahead of Costa Rica. But ELO has Jamaica in 63rd, so that's 12 places below Costa Rica. And again, we tend to find ELO a little bit more reliable or reflective of actual strength. In 1998, for their only World Cup appearance, they spiked to 33rd in the world in FIFA and 39th in ELO. But that was really a high point. Their lowest point in the intervening years was in 2008 when they almost fell out of the top 100. They were 98th in FIFA and 71st in ELO. The last few years, though, has coincided with a couple of good Gold Cup runs, as we've talked about, and they've been kind of in the 50s or low 40s in FIFA and in the 60s in ELO, and that's where they seem to have landed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like those Gold Cups final finishes didn't affect their ELO ranking that much, but as you say, it kind of moved them from around the high 70s to around 60. So I guess it has improved their overall standing. Should we move on to Suriname?
Yeah, so Suriname, we have to look a little bit further down in the rankings now. They're 136th in FIFA and 125th in ELO. They were as low as 190th in FIFA rankings. That's only a few places above the bottom, really. Mm-hmm. And they were 158th in ELO in June 2016. That said, that low ranking in FIFA was a little bit uncharacteristic. They've never been over 100 in either system. They've peaked at 110th in August 2011 in the FIFA rankings. And at 125th in ELO, that's actually their highest ever ranking that they achieved in ELO, which is where they're sitting now.
Yeah, and that makes sense. They've made the Gold Cup. They had a fairly good run in the Nations League. So that seems about right, 125th. I guess the real question there, though, is how it compares with Guadeloupe.
Yeah, and Guadeloupe, as we said, they're not a FIFA member, so they have no FIFA ranking. But according to ELO, they're 148th. So that places them 23 spots below Suriname in ELO rankings. During their glorious period, they spent 5 years from 2007 to 2012 in the top 100 teams, according to ELO, peaking at 84th. But they've been below 100 in the rankings ever since, and they've been around 150th or even lower ever since June 2017.
Great. Well, that kind of puts those two bottom teams in a similar range and the two top teams in a similar range. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Should we move on, or do you want to talk about how they stand in the region itself?
Yeah, just by way of summary, so Costa Rica are the fourth-ranked team in the region, according to both FIFA and ELO. Jamaica, perhaps a little surprisingly, are third in FIFA, so ahead of Costa Rica. But they're the sixth-ranked team in CONCACAF, according to ELO. Suriname are 15th and 14th in the two ranking systems. And Guadeloupe, which only has an ELO ranking, are the 18th strongest team in CONCACAF. So like you said, that grouping of the top two and bottom two kind of play similarly to each other.
Right. Great. Okay, well, we're going to just take a quick look at the head-to-head. I think I won't dwell on this too much, but let's begin with Costa Rica and Jamaica. Unbelievable. They've played 17 games, and Costa Rica has only lost once. So they have tied quite a bit. It's 11 wins for Costa Rica, 5 draws and 1 loss. And the recent games in 2018, Costa Rica bested Jamaica, so they tied them in Jamaica, but won at home. So a pretty strong record over Jamaica. In fact, Costa Rica has winning records over all of the teams. It's 4 wins, 0 draws, and 0 losses with Suriname, and 2 wins, 0 losses, and 0 draws with Guadeloupe. So on the head-to-head, Costa Rica looks very strong in this group. Moving on, Jamaica has a record of 4 wins, 0 ties, and 1 loss to Suriname. That loss was in their first meeting in 1996, but they played twice since 2017, and Jamaica won both. It's similar with Guadeloupe. Jamaica has beaten them 6 times and never lost or tied to them. Their most significant meeting was in the 2010 Caribbean Cup final, and I think we mentioned that in our history, where Jamaica won on penalties. And finally, and interestingly, Suriname and Guadeloupe have met 4 times, and they both won 2, and they both lost 2. So they are dead even as far as head-to-head goes, even though the rankings put Suriname a little bit ahead of Guadeloupe. Any comments on that, or perhaps you can lead into our discussion, part 3 of prospects?
Yeah, let's take a look at the prospects. As we've just mentioned, it seems to be a bit of a top two, bottom two situation. Costa Rica, they maintain a high position in the CONCACAF region, and have been pretty consistent, but they have been a bit lackluster, especially in Gold Cups, where they tend to go out in the quarterfinals, as opposed to making it to the last 4, which you think should be kind of their minimum aim. However, they always pass the group stage and should again here, Jamaica probably being the only challenge to them. In terms of Jamaica, they are a bit inconsistent, but they have performed well in the Gold Cup in recent years, getting to the semifinals in the last 2 cups. And they do have, on paper, quite a strong, some very strong players to draw on, players playing at decent levels across Europe and in England in particular. As for the bottom two, I don't really see them challenging the top two, but certainly a point off one of them, probably an inconsistent Jamaica more likely. Over to you. What do you see for Group C?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like Costa Rica is really underrated by the rankings. I mean, maybe I was just thinking about it as we were going here. Maybe they've dropped so much because they really haven't played many games. They haven't played much. My grammar went awry. And that's true for Jamaica, too. So we'll talk about their long-term prospects a bit more. But I think that's very significant that they really haven't played many games. And maybe that's why their ranking has dropped. But as we saw in the history, like, they're very consistent. Their team is full of veterans. I think, actually, Costa Rica will be Costa Rica. They'll be just very strong and steady. And I think that'll prove too much for Jamaica. I was a bit upset with Jamaica being ranked above them in FIFA. I don't think that's even close. But as you say, Jamaica can kind of pop up and do well. Kind of the opposite of the steady Costa Rica. Jamaica are up and down. Of the two, though, I think I prefer Costa Rica going through in first and Jamaica in second, although it's not out of the question. What is out of the question for me is either Suriname or Guadeloupe challenging for second. I think they'll have a good battle between themselves, and I hesitate to predict that. Although I think Suriname should be a stronger team than Guadeloupe, they just don't always prove to be. But I think that's an interesting battle that could turn out either way. Do you see, you maybe did refer to this, but Suriname or Guadeloupe taking any points off the top two?
I think it's possible, but unlikely. And I think it's highly unlikely against a Costa Rica team that really gets the job done in the group stage pretty consistently. I see Costa Rica beating both those teams relatively comfortably. And Jamaica, it's possible, but I think Jamaica are a little bit too strong, and I think the gap is a little bit too large, where I would be surprised to see either Suriname or Guadeloupe take points against Jamaica.
Yeah, that's a time. I mean, whenever we give predictions, of course, Guadeloupe could pop up and finish in second like they did once before. And it wouldn't shock me to see that, but it's not something I would sit here and predict that they do, you know. So it's always a bit tentative when giving predictions. But maybe we've yammered enough. Connor, give it to me straight. How is this group going to end?
I see Costa Rica's steady performance in this tournament, and I actually see their experience assisting them in this case. They are an aging squad, but they're players that know how to get out of a group stage. I think Costa Rica will win the group. I think Jamaica second. And based on some of the goal scorers Suriname has, as opposed to Guadeloupe, who are pretty inexperienced, I would give Suriname third and Guadeloupe fourth. Do you agree?
As much as I like a bit of controversy at this stage, I do agree. I think the most contentious position there is third and fourth, which could change. But what you said is kind of the default, and that's how I think it'll work out. But one more thing to talk about: their overall chances in the tournament. If you say Costa Rica and Jamaica are going to pass the group stage, how far do you think they're going to get?
I would say Costa Rica probably should get to the semifinals, especially if they consider themselves a top four team in the region, as I do. They don't tend to trouble USA or Mexico too much, or perhaps as much as they should. So I see their tournament kind of ending once they hit one of those teams, or possibly, you know, Canada, depending on how they do. But I can see them getting to the semifinals, but no further. Jamaica, they've had some good runs. They do have a decent team on paper, and certainly are capable of pulling a surprise. They have goal scorers in their team, which is what every team needs. So that makes me believe that an upset is possible. But I think quarterfinal finish is more likely for them.
Right. Well, as a Canadian, I do like, I've always liked Jamaica as a team, but I was as a Canadian a bit resentful of them getting an automatic placement in the 2022 World Cup qualification, especially in the system they had before they changed it, because it looked like that was going to be at Canada's expense. But now I think the tables are reversed, where that lack of playing is going to help teams like Canada, and it's going to work against teams like Jamaica, who really have only played a couple of friendlies over the last 2 years. And I think Costa Rica and Jamaica might suffer by that in the latter stages of the tournaments, just not having played together for that long. So whereas you say kind of Costa Rica is slow and steady and should reach the semifinals, Jamaica, you know, they're pretty hot and cold, so they could reach the semifinals, or we saw that they reached the finals before. I don't think they'll do it this time, but they have the potential. But I'm going to put Costa Rica as a semifinals and Jamaica going out in the quarterfinals. What do you think?
Well, we're in agreement then, as far as their prospects in the tournament. I think for Jamaica, you make a great point about their lack of game time. They're able to draw on some pretty good players, especially from England, where there's a large kind of Jamaican diaspora. However, the fact is these players, even though they can call on some good players, they don't have a lot of caps and don't have a lot of experience playing together as a team. And I think that's a challenge, and that favors Costa Rica, who have a group of players, while older, have played together and been through through a lot of tournaments together as a unit. I think that will make the difference.
That sounds good. Okay, well, that brings us to the conclusion of Group C. Thanks for joining, Connor.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, and I will see you in Group D for our, as we wrap up our preview of the Gold Cup.
Excellent. Thank you. See you.
Bye.
Bye.